Please be seated. Again, at this assembly, there's going to be a number of questions that we will be given attention to. So we endeavor to really grasp the answer to the questions by remaining attentive to the question that the brother is going to pose at the conclusion of his part. Our first subject is why your inner voice needs safeguarding. We're pleased to invite Brother Ron Hine from the Thorncliffe Congregation to discuss that for us. Please address us now, Brother Hine.
Have you ever meditated on the way you're created? We have, haven't we? We've talked about it a lot. And most often, when we talk about the way we're created, we discuss our physical attributes, the wonderful way that Jehovah has created us. Do you ever think what it means to be created in God's image, though? You know, that's something that's very special. Created man in his image. And what does that mean? Well, that means he created us with the qualities and attributes that he has. And what do those qualities and attributes allow us to do? To enjoy life, or to have the potential to enjoy life beyond compare. And there's a lot of different things involved in being created in God's image. One is mentioned in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let's open our Bibles to those verses and read them together. Romans 2, 14 and 15. It says, "For whenever people of the nations that do not have a law do by nature the things of the law, these people, although not having law, are a law to themselves. They are the very ones who demonstrate the matter of the law to be written in their hearts, while their conscience is bearing witness with them, and between their own thoughts they are being accused or even excused." You notice the gift that Jehovah has given us that is mentioned there? It speaks about the conscience. It talks about how by nature, people of the world even, can respond to this inner voice, this conscience. Conscience can be defined this way. The Greek word for conscience literally means co-knowledge or knowledge with oneself. So what that means is that we can, in a way or in a sense, stand back, look at ourselves, and make moral judgments. It's a voice, an inner voice. It can examine our actions, our attitudes, our choices. And it's such a beautiful gift because it can guide us toward a good decision or warn us against a bad one. And you know what the conscience can do to us, don't you? When you have a good conscience, how do you feel? See the intangible things that Jehovah created us with, how they can benefit us? We have a good conscience. We feel good about life. We enjoy life. We feel good about what we're doing. We have meaning, purpose in our life. So when properly trained, it guides us toward good decisions and warns us against bad ones. If we were to compare it to a physical attribute, we might say it's like our sense of balance. Where would we be without our sense of balance? We'd be falling and stumbling. We might not even be able to stand up. And with our conscience, it's very similar. With a good conscience, we can accomplish many things. We can be happy. So why do we need an entire special assembly day program with the theme, Safeguard Your Conscience? You know why, don't you? It's because the devil wants us to violate our conscience. If our moral compass becomes faulty, we are easily led astray by the devil and his system. But don't despair, because Jehovah wants your conscience to be a good guide. And because Jehovah wants that, he has provided this program for us. So again, isn't it wonderful how Jehovah cares for us? We're going to look at 7 questions today. You may want to take note of these. Number 1, what is hazardous to the conscience? What is hazardous to the conscience? Number 2, how can we train our conscience? Number 3, how is it possible to be clean from the blood of all men? Number 4, what does our thinking and actions on Bible principles reveal about us? Number 5, how can we avoid wounding others in matters of conscience? And then number 6, young ones, how can you bear up when pressured to compromise? And number 7, what blessings come to those who follow their spirit-directed conscience? So the first question, what is hazardous to the conscience? We have such potential here. It's such a valuable asset. And yet the Bible speaks about the conscience being branded or defiled or wicked. We would never want that to happen because that inner voice then would begin to give us the wrong message. And our conscience, our Bible-trained conscience, would no longer be guiding us. So how can that happen? Well, a person's conscience could be warped during his upbringing or as a result of what he feeds his mind. So think about that. That's giving us a good idea of where we're headed here. What we feed our mind can affect our conscience. We can learn from the example of the Apostle Paul in this regard. Do you remember what Paul was like before he became a Christian? What he did? You know, he approved of the murder of Stephen. He was there. He persecuted Christian disciples. And you know what? He didn't think he was doing anything wrong. Why? Well, in Acts chapter 26, verse 9, he says, the reason for that is that the thought within himself. So what he was thinking, what he fed his mind, who he associated with, had a detrimental effect on his conscience. You know, that leads us to the question, why does the conscience of so many today not keep them safe? Well, it's because of what people allow. They allow personal feelings, popular opinion, to influence how they act. So what influences? What influences do you think could be hazards to our conscience? We're going to mention 3, so we want to take note of these 3. And if you were to think about it, what answer would you come up? What hazards are there to the conscience? You probably get this first one. You probably get the second one too. But today's entertainment, the debased entertainment of the world today. What does that debased entertainment put into our mind? Well, it promotes fornication. It promotes homosexuality, spiritism, the misuse of blood. Think about it. If that's what you feed your mind, can you see how it could defile or brand your conscience? Become seared, unresponsive? We can test ourselves. If we think back a number of years ago to what we would allow ourselves to view on TV and then compare it to what we allow ourselves to view today, has Satan made some inroads there? See, we can't allow that to happen. Second point, bad associations. Bad associations. In person or through social networking. These could defile our conscience. So we need to safeguard our conscience. We have to recognize that hazard to our conscience, acting as a guide that warns us or protects us from doing bad things. And we know what the Bible says about bad associations. A third point. Now, this third point is brought to our attention in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. And see if you can pick it out. What this is saying is a hazard to our conscience. 1 Timothy 1, verse 19. It says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have thrust aside and have experienced shipwreck concerning their faith. So what do you think, or how do you think, we could apply that verse to what could be a hazard to our conscience? Well, you notice there it says that some have thrusted it aside. So what do you think that means? They've thrust aside their conscience. Well, that means that they've ignored the proddings of that conscience. That means that when they know something is wrong, they still do it. Can you see how that could be a hazard to our conscience and how it could begin to brand it, to sear it? Can you think of a Bible example of someone that did that? Here's a good one. Adam and Eve. Did Eve know? Did her conscience tell her that she should not eat of that fruit? No doubt. She was created in God's image just as we are. She had that gift and she ignored it. And what happened? And Adam did the same thing. So it would seem that some today have also thrust aside their conscience and begun to indulge in unrestrained sensual gratification. How could that happen? How can we just simply thrust it aside? Well, this is when we allow it to happen. We allow our heart to desire what Jehovah forbids. We allow our mind to begin thinking and giving us an intellectual escape that maybe it's not quite right what brother, you know, one of the elders in the congregation said to me. Or maybe what my mom and dad says is just a little bit too strict. See how you're creating an intellectual escape? And you're beginning to ignore the proddings of your conscience? Well, apparently that's what happened to Hymenaeus and Alexander. And they experienced the shipwreck of their faith. Their conscience no longer guided and protected them. We would never want to allow that to happen, would we? So we know what not to do. We know that we need to protect ourselves from these three hazards: debased entertainment, bad association, and we need to make sure that we do not ignore or thrust aside the proddings of our conscience. But what do we need to do? What positive things can we do that will protect our conscience? Well, to fulfill its purpose, the conscience must be shaped by divine standards as revealed in the Scriptures. Remember what its purpose is? Why God gave us this wonderful gift? It's to guide us toward good decisions and warn us against bad ones. So how's that going to happen? Well, if there's things that we should not put into our mind, obviously there are other things that we should feed our mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, a nice verse that teaches us the importance of being guided, shaped by divine standards. So 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Says, for I am not conscious of anything against myself. Yet by this I am not proved righteous, but he that examines me is Jehovah. So you look at that verse, it's an interesting what it says. Paul is saying that we shouldn't depend just on our conscience. He says, he said he wasn't proved righteous by knowing that he wasn't doing anything wrong, but rather he says, he that examines me is Jehovah. So what did he mean by that? Well, what he meant is that we have to use Jehovah's standards to judge ourselves. We have to use Jehovah's standards to educate that inner voice to give us the right direction. And in the end, here's a thought we need to put into our mind. Jehovah is the final judge. So whenever you face a conscious issue, if you think Jehovah is the final judge, can you see how that will help to shape your conscience and what you do? So our review question. What is hazardous to the conscience? Three things. Debased entertainment, bad association, and failure to heed the proddings of a well-trained conscience. What a beautiful gift Jehovah has given us to guide us. What an asset. Think about how it makes you feel when you have a good conscience and when you know you've done the right thing because you've listened to that inner voice. Brothers and sisters, do not expose your conscience to any of those three hazards we've considered. And here's a closing thought to feed your mind on. As long as a baptized Christian maintains a good conscience by conforming to Jehovah's standards, he remains in a saved condition with the prospect of everlasting life.
Thank you for that prudent direction, Brother Hine. May we all then safeguard ourselves from the things that would be a hazard to our conscience.